be collecting our tithes and offering. But before we do that, just come and stand right with me. We want to recognize those that may be visiting with us, and we want to honor you as our guest. We have such guests among us, and our ushers will give you a package that you may fill in some details and get to know more about us. Any guest among us? Could I see your hands? Yes, we have some guests there. Thank you so much. Wow. So why don't we receive our guests and just give a clap offering to the Lord? Let's say thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow. Thank you so much. Yeah, so if you're close to them, just extend a handshake to them and say, welcome. We are live this morning. So please, there's a card in there. Fill it in. And once you've filled in, then when the offering baskets are going around, just slip it right in there. And we want to just appreciate you. And at the end, when going out to my right, there's a desk there where we'll give you a CD, music that is specifically done for you by our choirs here at PGCC. So thank you so much for coming. And just before we pick the offerings, once again, I just want to alert you to some of the important aspects of our ministries going on. And also, bear with us, the multimedia equipment is not fully functional this morning, so we've had to do some innovations here. So, and for that reason, we encourage each and every one of you to have a hard copy of this bulletin. There are two important announcements that we want you to take note of in these hard copies. The first one is on April 6th, U-Town will be hosting Stations of the Cross right here, and that will be at 6 p.m. So please take note of that. And also, we want to speak to those that have been on this Christian walk and you've not yet experienced baptism. There will be water baptism conducted on Easter Sunday. So it's very important that as a believer, you go through this process. It will transform your life. So please make contact with Christine from U-Town, and the information is on this bulletin here. Make contact with her so that you register. There will be a class on April 8th, right here. If you are interested, please, there will be a class right here before that baptism day, so that you may experience the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Donna, something for the family. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. I'm Donna, and Ian has a picture for us. Raina and David had their baby, Liam. 7 pounds, 7 ounces. I told Ian, you need to put the weight on there. The moms are going to want to know. Ian. But there are a few technical difficulties this morning, so he's having trouble. You know, how about I dismiss the kids as well? Yeah? Okay, so Angela is doing a class upstairs for the 2 to 4-year-olds, and I'm going to do a class for the 5 to 9-year-olds, and Daniel and the 10 and up are staying in the service with you, Deborah, so they're going to be just paying great attention to you. So 2 to 4 is upstairs, and the 5 to 9 is in the family room with me.
Thank you so much. So get ready, 5 to 10-year-olds, 5 to 9, you're going in that room. So we're going to be praying for the tithes and offerings right now. Okay, so are we ready to pray? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for the opportunity to give from our substance this morning. And we do ask that you may set aside that which will be given for the extension of your kingdom. And dear Lord, I pray for a blessing upon each and every hand that shall be extended this morning, that you may multiply, O God, the resources from where this is coming from, in the name of Jesus. And I pray for the protection of all those resources as I rebuke the devourer from each one's resources right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, we ask that you may receive this as a sacrifice of our offering, pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we may give from our resources this morning. This morning, we receive the blessing of God's word from Deborah, whom I will invite in a moment, and then we just pray for her as we prepare our hearts to receive from God.
Go?
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you for Deborah. And this morning, we just commit her into your hands, and we ask that indeed you may anoint her and set her apart, and let that which she speaks, O God, be nothing but your word.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, and that you may open the understanding of us all, that we may receive that which comes from you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. I'll move this. Thank you. Amen. So I've been thinking a lot about compost lately. A lot about compost. Why? Because it's the answer. It's the answer, they say, to just about anything that can go on in the garden. It's full of carbon, which is the fuel to keep the nitrogen and the oxygen and the water all mixed together, and to get that growth that is so wonderful to enjoy at this time of the year, or the expectation of growth. And so, you know, along with the compost, which is supposed to be the answer to everything, all your garden needs, if it's your soil's too sandy, compost, if it's too much clay, compost, whatever it is, you have this wonderful, powerful, wonder-working dirt that will solve everything. But along with compost, I have learned over the years that not all good things enjoy compost, but there are some little critters and unexpected guests that also enjoy compost. When we bought our house several years ago, I inherited a beautiful long patio box full of compost, and I went digging and just enjoyed that first summer with everything wild and wonderful that could grow. But as I was enjoying the beauty of what I saw in front of me, I had a sneaking suspicion that there were other creatures enjoying the compost and the fertile garden that I had planted. And lo and behold, the cats started coming, the crows started coming, every little creature of the earth started to kind of enjoy my back patio. And so I said to myself, there's got to be something underneath that is bringing these critters. And lo and behold, I asked Glenn if he thought we should get rid of it, which of course he didn't want to. He was enjoying everything. But I said, no, there's something underneath. There's something underneath. I don't know what it is, but it's attracting a lot of foul creatures in our backyard. So we asked, I came home 3 days later. The landscaper had been in. The box was gone. My beautiful garden was gone. But so was that, I don't want to call it a big bad rat, but so was that big rodent and family gone. Gone for good. And it kind of made me think as I was preparing this message from the book of Ephesians, Paul's prayer, the first chapter, which I'm going to speak on this morning, it kind of made me feel about a lot of things about that are going on in our church. Not that there's rodents and things going on underneath, but the possibility of things getting unseen and things kind of working underneath while we are in this time of transition, while we are experiencing the beautiful move of the Spirit, and I know we are because I'm witnessing it every day in your lives, and I'm seeing the gifts of God come forth. While all of that is happening, I want us to focus on several things. When we're going through transition, a lot can happen. But this transition, I want to see a beautiful sense of growth and experience and just the giftedness that is in this church come forth without hindrance. And I believe that that is possible. It is so possible that I am committed to seeing this process through until we see the glory of God come into this place. Now, before I begin, and I want you to stand, I want to read the prayer from Ephesians. Please stand. And why the book of Ephesians? Well, once we read the prayer, you'll find that this is a series we're going to go through for the next 3 weeks in this church. And I believe that God will speak to you and affirm to you in several different ways where it is in your life that God is going to cause you to grow, where God is going to use this area of your life to show you, pardon me, new and wonderful things during a time of change. That's when the growth starts happening. So here we go. We're looking at Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. And we don't have it up, but that's okay. That's okay. For this reason, this is Paul speaking, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just commit this word to you, this powerful prayer. I commit it to you, and I pray that by your Spirit, it will bring life to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. So why Ephesians, the book of Ephesians? Well, there's three reasons. Number one, if you read this book, it's a beautiful prayer. Meditate on it for the next 3 weeks because we are going to look at it closely. It's a great message for the church. For the church. Number one is a prayer. Number two, it's an affirmation. And if you could get my PowerPoint, one slide, only one, that would be wonderful, Ian. Thank you. thank the Lord for all the techies in this church. We need them. We need them once in a while to keep us focused, music, everything. Thank you so much. So, number one, prayer. Number two, the book of Ephesians is a bold affirmation declaring things about God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the church. That's what we are, which I am so excited about, because in this book, for a short time, I get to focus on the church which I love dearly. And then thirdly, the book of Ephesians is about evangelism, the ongoing work of the church, the ongoing work of the church. But this morning, we're going to focus on five things, not three, but five, from this prayer. And what I'm going to ask you to do as a mental kind of exercise, as you're looking at the one slide, there are word and revelation, power, the hope, the fullness, and faith. I want you to look at those squares, listen to the message, and say, Lord, what area is it in my life this week, this particular week, that you can reveal yourself to me every day, one aspect of Paul's prayer. One aspect of Paul's prayer, only one this week. But to ask God, this by his Spirit, I am convinced and I know that he will bring it to life. If it's wisdom, if it's hope, if it's faith, if it's power, whatever it is. And so, Father, I pray for this church. I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, you would even now start speaking as you already have. Now, Ephesus, let me give you a little bit of background about Ephesus. Ephesus was a major financial center when Paul wrote to this church. Paul actually planted the church. And he had lived in Ephesus for 2 years with Priscilla and Aquila, and there was a church that grew, a very influential church. So his heart was tied to this city. And Ephesus was also the home of the games, which in ancient times would be the equivalent of the Olympics. And Ephesus was also the home of a center of the spiritual, mystical worshiping of the goddesses, Diana, Athena, all the goddesses. So when you read Ephesus, you get this sense of the mystical. There's a lot of mysticism in a mystical kind of language in Ephesus. And so within this context of business, politics, religious pluralism, Paul plants a very influential church. Wow. No wonder his heart is tied to this church when he leaves. And he writes this letter. And he starts this letter with a prayer. And the first thing he does is, of course, he gives thanks. But he recognizes that by the Spirit of God, that these people in the church had been called into a relationship by the Spirit, and that they were seeking and seeking after the mystical and the invisible. I once wrote an article on seeking after the invisible, and it was an article about the mystics, because it was a time in my life where I had gotten very taken with the vocation of mysticism, and I'm saying that in the spiritual realm of committing your life to just seeking God. And so I developed a message from that and an article from that. But as I was doing that, it became very clear to me that while the seekers, while the mystics were seeking, they were working. Seeking after the Spirit of God, seeking for God in the midst of that, God was working through them, and they were ministering, evangelizing, and doing the works of the Spirit so that the church of Jesus Christ could be made visible in whatever place they were in. And so it was quite a revelation to me, and I'm not going to go through that whole article, but it was very, very inspiring for me to not want to retire back into the center of just, you know, seeking after those giftings and that spirituality that is so rich, that can be so rich, but at the same time, knowing that that is to be, that life is to be shared, that life is to be poured out and to be walked through in whatever area God puts you in every day. And that's why this is such an incredible prayer. The first thing that Paul asks for is that they would be given a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, if you study Proverbs, you'll know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowing God is the beginning of wisdom. But I happen to, because we are readers of the Financial Post in our house, I happened to find this little blurb this weekend on the brain. And it says, our brains are wired not for retirement, but for constant reinvention. Encouragement to all of us who are getting up there. And seniors can tap extraordinary creative and intellectual powers in the second half of life. A growing body of neuroscience research suggests this. The mature brain may lose some of the processing speed and accuracy that the younger brain has, but it isn't inferior, says this author of Boundless Potential. Transform your brain, unleash your talents, reinvent your work in midlife and beyond. The mature brain is just organized differently, and especially when it is adequately challenged. It keeps growing and developing new strengths and assets that the average younger brain cannot compete with because of the reservoirs of knowledge that we have, what we sometimes call wisdom. Well, I think that's very interesting, but the Word of God embraces far more when it talks about wisdom, and it implies a deep understanding, a keen discernment, sound judgment, and mature insight. Now, that may sound kind of boring for some of the younger audience today, like, who wants it? Who needs it? Well, I tell you, as God, if the Spirit of God would come and convict you, those younger, this morning, of the need for spiritual wisdom and divine revelation early in your life, the potential that you would see would be outstanding, and much of that would only come from this spirit of wisdom and revelation that Paul prays for his people. And sometimes the revelation and the wisdom can be manifested in a gift, the gift of wisdom. Now that is, or for a word of wisdom. And that's one of the first nine supernatural gifts of the Spirit mentioned in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. And it involves a direct supernatural inspiration on how to deal with circumstances or people. And it may come just at the right time. Now, there's a difference between a word of wisdom, the gift of being wise, but this word of wisdom is something that we need to see during this time of transition. I pray that as we continue to walk through the next few months, might be longer, that God would speak in every meeting through the word and the gift of wisdom. I just extend that to those of you in leadership, that there would be the right word for the right time. It's wonderful when it happens. It's wonderful. And it doesn't mean that it's always going to be an abiding thing, but I'm talking about the gift. The gift. And so we can have, because we can have wisdom and we can have knowledge, but if they're not blended together, they're not blended in the Spirit of God, they don't balance each other. So, Father, we thank you for releasing in this congregation words of wisdom. You know, you're on a path, we're on a path, and that right word comes to you. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for that. Wisdom and revelation. Now, I've had something sort of happen like that about 7 or 8 weeks ago. Somebody gave me a word. I did not at the time understand that word. I don't know if it was a word of wisdom. It was a word of knowledge. Maybe it was a word of knowledge. I don't know. I kind of didn't understand. It was from Rena. I didn't understand it at the time. I didn't understand the picture at all. I just kind of, oh, is that good or bad? I wasn't really sure. So I forgot about it. I left it. Usually things I don't get, I put them under the carpet. But then this weekend, when I was kind of struggling and moving through this message, and you know, sometimes you get in that saying, why am I doing this? Whoa, I should be, you know, whoa. You got to say, Lord, what is the hope of my calling? All these things. The Lord brought that word to me, and I started to investigate that word, and it spoke to me in a way that gave me strength. And I thank you for that. I thank you. But at that time, at that moment, a word came. I didn't seize on it, but it was brought back to me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So you can be encouraged when God speaks to you for someone or to you. It will endure. It will last. He'll bring it back. It doesn't always have to be revealed at that time. There can be a waiting season. I just want to counsel you that if it's from God, it will endure, it will stay, and it will be revealed in life. And that is words of revelation as well, because they are creative words and they're ongoing, and God uses them for his glory. In that instance, I was strengthened for his glory. I do believe that, and I thank the Lord for that. So the work of the Holy Spirit is not in regenerating our brains, but rearranging and not just giving us new knowledge, but opening our hearts to receive God's knowledge, and that our hearts will be open. And as Proverbs says, wisdom rests in the heart of those who have understanding. God give us understanding. And then Paul goes on and he says, and I pray that you will understand the hope of your calling. Now, one of the things about hope is, what comes with hope is a lot of expectation. A lot of expectation. And this is one area, if it's biblically rooted, where we can have expectation, where we will not be disappointed. But it is one area also where we can be just hugely disappointed in hoping. How many of you have hoped for something and then been hugely disappointed? Many, many of us have hoped for something. And the word says, a hope deferred is like sickness. That's what Proverbs. Read Proverbs, is a wonderful book. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. But it's like sickness. It makes your heart sick. But, you know, I think that it's misplaced expectations on things or changes that need to happen but don't actually happen the way we think they should happen. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I have hope. And that was a demonstration that his hope was not in personal fulfillment or whatever else you want to put in the box. His hope was in God. His hope was in God and God alone. And that, dear ones, will carry you through the disappointments and through those waters of change and transition where your expectations may, as mine so often have, been misplaced. Misplaced, that's all. But we have an anchor. We sing this, and we have an anchor in the soul, in for our souls, and it is hope. And then moving on, then Paul says, you know, I pray that you will know the hope he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. I have to read this because it's incredible. Which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Power. Power. How great is this power working, this resurrection power? Wow. Recasting resurrection. Resurrection, if you believed in it before, has to do with the next life. The dead are buried, and then they are found with God. Resurrection. But Jesus' resurrection took place on earth. It took place in what Eugene Peterson says, in the country of death. The resurrection took place in the country of death. And the first witnesses and participants were walking their lives on earth. And I love that Easter story. I love the road to Emmaus, that story. They were walking in the way, and they witnessed the power of the resurrection. And I believe that we have only begun. May God free us from anything that will hinder us from walking in the way every day and experiencing that daily resurrection power, that daily, daily. It's daily. It's like a vitamin. It's real. Oh, that's such a feeble. Can we hear more? And speaking of resurrection and speaking of life, I want to draw your attention here this morning to these two beautiful paintings that are here. Thank you so much, Deborah Martin. I am just so grateful to be able to enjoy these. They are on loan. They're on loan from this talented artist. But here we have, and I think I spoke several weeks ago to the leadership about when we were discussing this transition time and change, that the Lord had given me the image of the anointing of the feet of Jesus from Psalm 133, the cost, but the beauty of staying together and being as those who are committed to walking with him through the death and through his life. And I thank you so much for bringing this to us, Deborah. And this is the other, with Jesus praying. I believe it was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. We are going into this season of Easter, and this whole idea of the cost and the power and the glory and the walking on the way afterwards, and all those that were witnessed to, who witnessed this resurrection life, who maybe didn't understand it, and I don't expect that we will understand everything. Nobody gets it all. Nobody gets it all. That's why we need each other. We share in that resurrection power. You may have a gifting, you may have a revelation, you may have things that I don't know. That's a good thing. Nobody gets it all. We're all on, as Brian Dirksen so wonderfully says in his song, Level Ground. We're all on the level ground. And God, thank you for the giftings. And thank you for the cost. Thank you for this beautiful image of knowing that this rich, expensive oil, this perfume was poured out on the feet of Jesus as an expression of love and sacrifice. And in return, although their lives may not have looked all together and all, you know, self-fulfilling and personal actualization and all those other things, they were experiencing the power of the resurrection daily with Jesus. Daily. That is the power. That is the power. The Holy Spirit forms church to be a colony of heaven in the country of death. Church is the core element in the strategy of the Holy Spirit for providing human witness and physical presence to the Jesus-inaugurated kingdom of God in this world. It is not the kingdom, but it is the church. That was from Eugene Peterson's book called The Pastor, where he's put in his 28 years of pastoring. He started out as a church planter. Everybody should start out as a church planter, because as you church plant, you learn all those beautiful truths without the confines of structures and buildings and all those things. God reveals them to you, and you see his body grow and come together, and there's those beautiful truths. And so he was wise enough to write them down and pass them on to people like myself and others who can just glean on that, on those truths, and be reminded of the beauty of the church. And then lastly, Paul prays that the fullness of Christ would be manifested. And this word fullness, it's a very loaded term. And I don't think we can ever really understand it, but here's a shot. What I believe that Scripture makes it clear that the fullness of divine things dwells in Christ, if you read Colossians and more of Ephesians, and that the church is his mystical body. The church is the fullness of Christ, not because it fills Christ, which is what some people believe, that we fill him, but I believe it's because he fills us, and he fills the church. And nowhere else in Scripture is it said that the church is to fill or complete Christ, whereas Christ is said to indwell and fill his church. Now, it all blends together, but the main thing is, in that ending of that prayer, is that he is the head, and he fills the body, that's us, with this power of movement and perception, and inspires us with life and direction. Should I read that again? Because I had to kind of walk in that for the last couple of days. I said, Lord, that's so powerful. That's so overwhelming. And I've seen your power, and I've seen the Lord do many things, but I want it to happen here and now, in this place, at this time, in this transition. So here it is. He fills the body with powers of movement and perception, the Holy Spirit, gifts, wisdom, knowledge, hope. And therefore, he inspires the whole body, with life and direction. Please stand. And I'd like the musicians to come forward. This is it. This is the prayer. This is the prayer. This is it, everyone. And I'm going to give the final exhortation. I'm going to skip over to Ephesians 3, 9, 10. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may be encouraged to approach God with freedom and confidence. With freedom and confidence. Receive that prayer this morning as a body. Just lift your hands up to God and say, Father, I receive from you, in this place, in this church, you're the head, and you flow through, of all things, us by your Spirit. And that is a wonderful hope. That is a beautiful thing. And so, Lord, you flow through us, you move through us, you give us the wisdom, you give us the grace, and you give us, Lord, revelation, and you protect. You protect against all those other creatures of the air that would seek to come in to ravish and to feed off the soil in this place, but not for your glory. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that this place will go forward with continued new life, real direction, as you release this morning, as you release those giftings here this morning. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for this time and season in the church that we're going. We thank you for Easter. We thank you for the resurrection. Thank you, Father. Make it real. Make it known. Let it be according to your purposes and plan for each life here in Jesus' name. And may you take in your hearts this morning one thing from the slide: hope, wisdom, revelation, power. Power energizes. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that wonderful energy that you give. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for the prayer, the intercessors, the Tuesday night group here that prays. I thank you for that group. Thank you, Lord. Release it, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us, oh, oh. Us, how he loves us all. For me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us, oh, oh, how he loves us, how he loves us, oh. We'll be right back. how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Sometimes to know what's real.
Can't feel you.